Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, this time the last part of the chapter. Ezekiel chapter 47, I'd like you to turn up the portion. Verse 13, thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border, whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have 2 portions, and ye shall inherit it, one as well as another, concerning the which I lifted up mine hand to give it unto your fathers, and this land shall fall unto you for an inheritance. Verse 21, so shall ye divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel, and it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you, and to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall you give him his inheritance, saith the Lord God. In this latter part of the vision, God is drawing up before Ezekiel the borders of the land of promise. The land is then to be segmented in order to accommodate each one of the tribes of Israel. Verse 13, notice the, we can call it the middle part of the verse, whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So God not only draws up the borders of the inheritance of His people, showing Ezekiel the length and the breadth of the land of Israel, but He says, now this territory is to be divided up so that each one of the 12 tribes will have an inheritance before Me in the land. Verse 21 says something similar. So shall ye divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. These tribes are then named in chapter 48. You can see some of them named at the commencement of the chapter. Other names are given later. But in the chapter 48, these tribes are then named one by one. And this is not to be taken as mere coincidence. But remember what we were saying last Lord's Day about continuity. One chapter leads on to the other. These tribes then are named one by one, without exception, in chapter 48, so that every one in the family of God is accounted for. It is at this point, after God has said, we'll divide up the land, and we won't leave out anyone. Every household will have a portion, and even the stranger as well. And these tribes, one by one, shall have accommodation in the land. It's just then that God makes special mention of Joseph. You see verse 13. When the Lord is looking at the land, and when He's saying to His servants, you'll divide the land now for an inheritance. Every tribe, the 12 tribes of Israel, each one shall have a portion here in this land of promise. Not one shall be missed. He suddenly makes particular reference to Joseph. And he says, Joseph shall have 2 portions. Mind you, this is in the context of where he's saying, as you look at verse 14, ye shall inherit it, one as well as another. Each man as well as his brother. The Lord's actually speaking there about the individuals. Not only the 12 tribes, but family by family and man by man. Each one as well as his brother. One as well as another, just to use the words of our authorized version. One as well as another. Every man. This is the sense of the line here in verse 14. Every man as well as his brother. I'm giving you the literal reading of the text. Thus, the Lord speaking office people as a family. There's a family gathering here in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord is looking at all the saints in the family of God, and He's saying, "Now, I'm not going to leave one out. There'll be a portion for everybody." This is the way the Lord distributes His good things. When we consider the congregation here as a family, and God has your name. We've thought about that already as we took reference from Psalm 80 in our Bible reading for the congregation. God has your name before Him. He sees you very much as an individual. And although there is a message for the entire congregation, bless the Lord, there's also a word for you in particular. God has a message for your soul. Each man as well as his brother. There's a kind of equality in the statement in verse 14. One as well as another. The Lord will make no difference. We would almost find ourselves thinking in that style. He will make no difference. One man as well as another. When the land is being divided for an inheritance, you will have a portion. And you will have a portion. The Lord will not leave anyone out. But in the face of all that, he says, Joseph will have two. Does that strike you as a strange thing? Well, we'll say, in view of this, that God is sovereign as to how He will arrange the divisions of the land. The land is His. The land belongs to God. And the Lord can do whatever He likes with that which is His. If you have certain possessions, you can do whatever you like if they're yours. You can decide if you wish to give them away. That's your prerogative. If you want to say, here's a portion for you, here's a portion for you, no one can find fault. And if you decide to be further, to go further with your liberality, you can say to one, I'm giving this one a portion and that one a portion, but to you, I'll give two portions. You would have your own reasons for taking that line. And when we come to this chapter of the Word of God, we must keep in mind the land belongs to Him. The people also are His, and the Lord can do as He pleases. And He will do as He pleases. He places, for example, the people in the land. Now that the land is going to be segmented, a territory for each one of the 12 tribes, the Lord will decide where each tribe will be placed. No tribe will decide for itself. The tribe of Judah will not say, for example, now these mountains are lovely. And the way the trees sweep down toward the sea, that's marvelous. I think we'll take this territory. After all, we're a special tribe and we have a whole multitude. When it comes to numbers, we would need some priority in the choice. We'll decide for this territory. This will be ours. But it will not be that way. Ephraim is argumentative among the tribes, but Ephraim will not decide. This territory is ours. Plenty of water here. There's a great riverway, and the flocks will abide here in abundance. No, Ephraim can't decide. It is perfectly clear the Lord will place each tribe as He pleases in the land. Not one tribe will decide for itself. The land is His. The people themselves belong to Him. And when it comes to the dividing up of the land, He will take the decision. This tribe will be here, and this tribe will go here. Every tribe, every family, I think we can say, is then to dwell in the land in the place where God wants them to be. Do you see the significance of that? Nowadays, given that apostasy has well nigh taken the life out of our Christianity, thousands of Christians imagine they can do as they please. It's simply a matter of free choice. Whether you go to church or not, whether you read the Bible or not, whether you honor the Lord's Day or not, whether you pray or not, it's a matter of free choice. We think we can do as we please. This is not correct. If we have the right order in our lives, we will put the Lord first, and we will be in the place where He wants us to be. You see, if we talk about membership in the church, for example, God has a place for you. God has a niche in the church for you to fill. And it is God's will for you to seek Him prayerfully and find out from Him where He wants you to be. And when you discover where the Lord wants you to be, that's the place for you to occupy. There's no use you going elsewhere. The Lord will never fail you. You'll still be blessed. You'll still be strengthened. You'll still find it profitable to hear His Word. But there's no getting away from it. When God has a particular place for you to serve Him in, that's the place for you to be. Every Christian should seek out the will of God on this matter. You should say, Lord, where is the place in the land where you want me to be? Right in the center of Thy will. That's the place for me. Judah didn't pick the place. And Ephraim didn't go where he wanted to. Mind you, he would have had the will to do so. But God said, no, this is the place. I want you to see how this comes up in verse 22. It shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance for you. Do you see the words, divided by lot? There will be no argument given this manner of apportioning the land. Otherwise, Ephraim would have fought with Judah, and Simeon would have fought with Naphtali, or something like that. But the land will be divided by lot. Can I read to you a little verse from Proverbs chapter 16? Proverbs chapter 16 is the last verse in Proverbs 16, verse 33 is a matter of interest. This verse talks about the lot. The lot was drawn to take the decision. Here's a slice of territory. We'll call it territory B, or territory A, or we can say territory C. A, B, or C, doesn't matter. There's a territory for one of the tribes, and a lot will be drawn. And perhaps this time the lot Judah will come up, or maybe this time the lot for Naphtali will come up. The land will be divided by lot. They won't be allowed to argue concerning it. Now, what about the lot? Do you think it's a mere accident, a mere coincidence that Judah gets this territory and Naphtali gets that territory and Benjamin gets this territory and Manasseh gets this territory? No, it's not an accident. It's not luck. No way. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Consequently, when the land is to be divided by lot, the Lord will govern every selection. This for Judah, this for Benjamin, this for Issachar, this for Naphtali. God will decree where every family in the land will be placed. Listen, child of God. The Lord has a plan for your life. You can only please Him by being in the very place where He wants you to be. Why don't you pray today, Lord, let me give my life to Thee and bring me more and more into the center of Thy will. The Lord can divide up the land as He chooses. He can say to these men, you can draw the lots, but I'll decide where you'll go. I'll place you. All to be placed by His hand. Not only does the Lord place the people as He pleases in the land, but He also makes a difference in what He gives to men, because He says, Joseph will have two. Nobody can argue with that. Joseph will have two. The Lord has a right to make decisions affecting us. And nothing overtakes the Christian by accident. God has placed you in this land, for example. Some of you have been placed in a Christian home. Others of you under Christian influence. And the Lord has, in His providence, brought you here. He has brought you here for this service. You're not here by accident. I'm not preaching this message by some sort of coincidence. The Lord has given me a word for this meeting. He has given me a word concerning your life. There is someone here out of the will of God. There is someone here living as a Christian, but doing exactly as He pleases. You're not consulting the Lord. You're not saying, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? You're not seeking that place in the center of His will where He will have you to occupy the place and where He will have you to serve Him. But remember, God not only decides the place as we seek Him, but He also decides what He will give us. Joseph will do, He says. Let us look at some verses in Corinthians. We'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And while you're turning up chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians and verse 7, let me read the words to you. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst not receive it, why dost thou glory? As if thou, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? As if thou hadst not received it. In other words, there is a difference among people. Some differ in quite a number of ways. You may differ in personality. You certainly differ in appearance. You differ as regards your physical condition. You differ in gifts. You differ in opportunity. You differ in station in life. You differ in physical and mental endowment. The Lord endows us in certain ways, and He makes a difference. There's no way we can say God makes us all equal. No, because we have all different works to do. And God gives, even inside a family, gives a distribution of gifts. There are differing personalities, even inside the one family. There are children brought up in the same environment, but everyone has a distinct personality, one different to the other. No two are alike. You can hear of identical twins, and sometimes it's hard to tell the two apart. And they may be quite like, for all I know, in personality as well. But usually in the family, children who are born, even if they have a similarity of appearance, will be totally different in nature. God gives His personality. You had no decision to make where you were born. You could have been born in the middle of Africa. You could have been born in a heathen land too. You could have been born far away from gospel influence. You could have been brought up in a family teaching something else other than the truth. But God has brought you here. He has given you the Bible. Oh, what a privilege you have had from Him. And whether you can say you got the two portions or not, you certainly got a blessed portion when the Lord gave it to you. There is a difference. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 4, who maketh thee to differ from another? You're different in personality. You're different in station in life. You're different in gift. You're different in opportunity. You're different in mental endowment. Tell me, who made you to differ? You're not to despise another person because of what you've got. Who made you different? God gave you those distinctives you possess. To take up the parable of the talents, one man gets one, another gets five, and somebody else may get ten. We can't argue with the Lord over that. But if God gives you one talent, make sure you use it. If God gives you five, use them all for the Lord. Don't be holding back on Him. Whatever God has given you, seek to use it for Him. And I may say, although God gives Issachar this portion and Judah that portion, when it comes to the fruitfulness and the harvest, every one of them has to plow his own field. The Lord may put you here and another one there, but every man has to plow the field. You've got to use the talent God gives you. It's not a question of you saying, oh, well, God gives this and He gives that, therefore we'll just sit back. If God gives us nothing, but the Lord gives everybody something. And what the Lord gives you, He expects you to use. The men who received a field from God had to plow it. They had to work it and produce the crop at the end of the season. And God expects us to use what He has given us. Turn over to chapter 12, the same epistle. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll look at verse 11. But all these, God's talking about different gifts in the body of Christ. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. As He will. The Holy Spirit has a sovereign will. Emphasize the words, mark them on your page, as He will. When the Lord decides to distribute the gifts among His people, He will already recognize, now that dear one will worship in that place, and so will that one, and so will that one, and so will that one. The Lord brings us together. The Lord has brought you here now. He has brought you into this assembly of His people. And when He sees that, already working beforehand, He has given to one this gift, and to another gift, and to another, still another gift, in order to make the body complete. But of this Christian, the Lord, having done all that, decides, well, I'll just go yonder. And another Christian says, well, I'll go elsewhere. You're getting out of God's will. And the body's incomplete. The Lord distributes the gifts severally as He will. Look further in the chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 18. Now God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. So God brought you here. And if you have a special gift, God gave you that gift. Whatever your talent is, it will not be the same as that possessed by the person near to you. But everyone is needed in the house of God. Nobody can say, well, I'm not needed here. Nobody can say, there isn't a place for me here in this congregation. There are so many who come, another will say, I wouldn't be missed. That's nonsense. That's utter nonsense. The Lord brought you here. He has set you as a member in the body. You take the physical body, and this is what the Lord's using here for an illustration. We have feet and we have arms. We have eyes, we have ears. There's a head in the body. The Lord designs the body. I'm glad that my feet are where they are, and that I don't have one of my feet coming out of an ear. I wouldn't look as well, and I wouldn't be as happy either if that was my problem. I'm glad my feet are just where they are, and I'm glad too that my hands are where they are, and the ears are in the right place, and so are the eyes. Some people say you need to have eyes in the back of your head, but I'm glad that I haven't got eyes in the back of my head. I'm just pleased to have them where they are. The Lord put them there. But don't take that as a matter of form. God, when He formed the body, He was pleased to give me two feet. Now, I like to keep them covered up, and I wouldn't care to take off my shoes and socks for this congregation. I don't think that they're especially attractive to look at. But just the same, I'll tell you this. Even though they're not attractive to look at, I need them. And furthermore, I use them. I wouldn't like to be without them. And when you think of the members of the body, there may be some member of the body, and you would say, for one reason or another, they're not too attractive. Maybe it's personality, maybe it's nature, maybe it's something else. I don't know. But no one can say, concerning any child of God, oh, we don't need you. Nor must the child of God say, I wouldn't be missed. That's nonsense. God brought you here. He was pleased to put you as a member into this body. And this is why we have the difference. So that eventually all the members will make a complete body. My feet are different to my hands. And if you were to make a comparison between my foot and my hand, I would think that a strange thing. I must have funny looking feet if that's the case. And my eye doesn't look the same as my ear. And if I scratch my ear, you're not likely to say, well, I wonder what he's doing scratching his neck. The neck's not too far away, but it's different to the ear. This is true in the members of the body. Every part of the body has a special function. Now, my neck's very important. It can't do the work of the hand. No way. The hand's exceedingly useful. I might starve if I didn't have my hand. But the neck's important as well. I'm glad I have one. Every part of the body there, God put it there. He designed the body. I'm not an evolutionist. I don't believe the body of man just now appears the way it is by chance. No, God designed it. And He put the hands where they are, and the feet where they are, and the head where it is. And all the functions of the body are there exactly as He planned. That's good. But see the spiritual significance of it. God has put you here. And it would be a sad thing if on Sunday night the foot goes missing. You know, we're going to limp tonight if you're away, because the foot will be missing, or the hand will be away, or the elbow will be missing, just because you want to go somewhere else. Now, I hadn't planned to say that, but it just suits the illustration. I might as well use it when I can. But the members of the body are there. God has designed the body, every member, and it's different. The wrist is different from the elbow, and the hand from the knee. But God designed the body so that every member should be there, and the body working perfectly. God made the difference, you see. Then I look again, verse, we'll turn over to chapter 15. We'll have to move on more quickly. I was going to look a little further into chapter 12, but we will go to chapter 15, verse 38. I'm reading 37 just to get the connection, talking about the sowing of grain, and the Lord saying here, the body is sown in death and laid in the grave, just as the grain is buried in the earth to bring forth a harvest later. Verse 38, chapter 15, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him. That is, He gives to every seed a particular body, the grain of wheat, or the ear of corn. Every one is different, you see, but it will produce according to its kind. God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed His own body. The seed from the wheat won't look like the ear from the corn, or from the barley for that matter. Every seed has His own body. And so God, for you, has given you your own body and gifts to go along with it. And He says, all flesh is not the same, verse 39, but I go down to 41. There is one glory of the sun. Think of that, up there in the heavens. One glory for the sun, and another glory for the moon, and another glory for the stars. For one star differeth from another star in the glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. There will be differences in heaven, differences in glory. One star differeth from another in the glory. Oh, this is marvelous. Oh, the greatness of God. The Lord has marshaled the stars of heaven in the fashion in which it has pleased Him. The stars are not there in the heavens by chance. And if we're here in this galaxy, that's not a coincidence. And if we look up and see a particular formation in the heavens for this hemisphere, that's not mere chance. For God has put these things where they are, even as it hath pleased Him. And these differences do appear, and God has the intention, when we notice this, of bringing the Christian to the place where he can say, have thine own way. You're to serve the Lord in the place where He put you. Joseph will have two portions. Oh, there's more to this than what we have said. But we can start off by saying, here's the sovereignty of God. What about the will of God for you? There's a verse in the Scripture which says, you have not because you ask not. I was thinking in the case, Joseph got two. Well, maybe nobody else asked. Joseph didn't really ask for two portions, but God gave him two. You could ask for more. You could ask for more. You have not because you ask not. Take that man, Elisha. Can you go? We'll just close with this illustration. 2 Kings chapter 1. Chapter 2, rather, I should have said. 2 Kings chapter 2. And as Elijah is to be parted from Elisha, he says in verse 9, 2 Kings 2 and 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. Many a time the Lord says that. Ask me to do something for you. Why don't you seek me now? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Give me a double portion. This old prophet of God, before he went to glory, answered, he said, you've asked me a hard thing. He's not sure just for the instant whether the Lord will grant that or not. The Lord must have said to Elijah, you can say to Elisha, get him to ask for something. And you can give him something before you go. Parting gift before you go home to glory. But he asked for a hard thing. Elijah wasn't too sure whether Elisha could get that blessing or not. He said, a double portion. Double portion of thy spirit. Give me two portions. I don't know if Elisha had been reading the story of Joseph earlier. Whether he had learned or not that Joseph had two portions. But whatever prompted him to say it, he said it. And he said to Elijah, give me two portions. Give me the double blessing. And Elijah had to ask the Lord about that. But the chapter shows clearly God answered that prayer and gave him a double portion. Elijah was a mighty man of God. And for Elisha to have the audacity to say, give me a double portion of thy spirit, was really asking a big thing. Give me twice the blessing, Elijah, that you ever got in your lifetime. Give me twice the power to walk with God. Twice the power to pray. This may be the sense of what he's saying. A double portion of thy spirit. Give me two portions. That's Joseph's share. God has a blessing for you. But you can reach out your hand. You can reach out your hand. And you can say, Lord, give me another portion. Give me another blessing. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving Father and our God, we thank Thee for the opportunity to call Thy name. We thank Thee, Lord, for placing us where we are. We're glad, Lord, that Thou didst cause us to grow up in a land where we were taught the Bible, where we had the opportunity to learn about the Savior, where before long, our infant feet toddled along to the house of God. We're glad, Lord, for the many memories we have of sitting down with the book of God and sitting even in thy house in our childhood and learning there of the Savior's love. We remember the day we were saved, the day we were washed in the blood, the day we were born of thy Spirit, the day, Lord, you took our feet from off the road to hell and set them on the road to glory. We remember that day. And we thank Thee, Lord, for loving us, saving us, and keeping us. Look upon us now. May we have Thy portion even through today. In Jesus' name. Amen.